Bibles to John 16. John 16. You can remain seated. We'll read our text this morning, John 16, beginning in verse number 1. Okay, the Bible says in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." This morning, we'll be talking about being offended. And I think that we would all agree that we live in a world that's easily offended. And I'm not making light or joke of that. It's just true. And in a world that takes offense, we ought to be Christians who are not easily offended. And so let's reflect on the message this morning as we go into this. Consider that there's a tendency there, there's a level of strength that's needed there, and it could be that God has for you just what He wants for you to have this morning, okay? So let's have prayer, and we'll get into the message. Father, this morning we need You. I need You. I need Your help and guiding touch, Your strength, wisdom. I pray for our church family that, Lord, if there's a need here this morning, that You would speak to that need. Speak to it in a way, Lord, that it's clear that it's from You, that You might get glory. And God, I thank You. I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that, Lord, even in a world that we live in, that You are constant. You're always there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have peace with You, and You're always willing and are always forgiving. Your mercy is faithful. And so we thank You for who You are. We pray Your blessings today as You work in us. I pray that You would get glory, but God, I pray that You would do the work in the hearts of Your people. Lord, it's all about You. I need You, and it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, church family, I think we all would agree that we need to all learn how to deal with offenses. Offenses is a critical part of our growth as a Christian. The reason why is because easily offended Christians have a tendency to hurt, not only to get hurt, but to hurt the church. And whenever I say that, I mean that when people get offended, they tend to not want to talk to the people that they're offended at. Consider these principles with me. If they talk to others about their problems, then what that does is it kind of amplifies and creates a bigger problem. When God wants us to go to the person that we have offended or are offended at. So offenses can hurt the church, can't they? If they're not handled right. Offenses, or rather easily offended Christians, usually get bitter. And bitterness in Christians usually leads us to not want to serve or be involved in things anymore. We start that process of shutting down. We say things, or rather we have feelings that lead us in that direction. When we have feelings that lead us in this direction, it happens when we cannot think about this person without getting filled with anger and hurt, you know. And that's a real part of life, isn't it? I mean, that we all have to deal with these kinds of, you know, things that come up in us, offenses. Remember that when this happens, it's sometimes true that we become convinced that everybody's against us and that nobody really cares. And when you start to feel that way, you're definitely not going to want to serve alongside of anybody. And so we start to pull away. We start to lose interest in being committed to anything, really, anything. And then on that list of anything is serving God. You know, it starts to go away. So offenses are a problem. when they become a problem and when they are a problem, we as Christians need to learn how to deal with them. Sometimes to keep them from happening, sometimes to know how to deal with them when they have happened, okay? And so Jesus is telling his disciples about some coming hatred and persecution that they would need to know how to deal with. He was preparing them for the trials to come. He wanted them to be strong. He wanted them to learn how to deal with these challenging trials and come out on the other side strong or even stronger, but not to wither and fall away. Yeah. Jesus didn't want his disciples to be easily offended when these trials came. And that's why he said what he said in verse number 1. Look at verse 1. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." So the disciples would experience a trial of their faith. And in these trials of their faith, they would face times of being tempted to be offended. That's what he's saying here. Now consider with me that the biggest trap for the disciples at this time was that they expected Christ to set up his kingdom. He was the Messiah. They believed that he was the Messiah. Now watch, they had sacrificed everything to follow Jesus. They had given up their careers. They had given up their lives. They had given up everything that they hoped for and ambition towards in life so that they might follow Christ. And so now in their life and in their ministry, they're forsaking all of these things. They're finding that as they follow Jesus, that now he is saying he's going to be leaving them. And so that would have shattered their expectations of what he was going to do. They would have thought that he would set up his kingdom and that they would be on his right hand and on his left hand. But now he would be gone, and the temptation to be offended would be strong because they would now face a world opposed to them like Christ, rather the world opposed Christ. And so he said to his disciples that he wanted them to be strong in these times and not easily offended. Can I say to you this morning, if you are easily offended, you will be. You should note that. If you are easily offended, you will be. Note that an offense comes from a disappointment. Now, these are just practical things. And we got building our case here. If we're trying to understand what it means to be offended, then we should note, offense comes from a disappointment. Brother Chad, in his lesson this morning, I wrote it down. Let me get my notepad. Obviously, this is not in my notes. But he said this morning, and it was, oh, you know what? It's, I actually wrote it on my Sunday school lesson. Let me see, where did I write it? It was so good. He said, "The trials of life are the testing grounds of our hope." Now that could go on a t-shirt. That was good. The trials of life are the testing ground of our hope. And we face trials. Jesus, in our text, and I think we talked about it all last time, he talked about the trials that we would face in this world. Now remember, an offense comes from a disappointment. What is a disappointment? A disappointment is a failure of an expectation. And so you get disappointed when you had an expectation of somebody or something and that expectation wasn't met. And so now you're disappointed, and that's where offenses come from. You see? Whenever I was in college, I didn't have a lot of money, as most of us didn't have much of when we were in college. And so, you know, I didn't have a lot of steak dinners. I didn't have a lot of dinners, actually. You know, all I needed was $1.71 because I knew I could get 2 bean burritos at Taco Bell. $1.71, which I don't think you could do that anymore, but I remember looking under the chair for like 5 cents because I had $1.60-something, you know, and I needed 5 cents so I could get, you know, the 2 bean burritos. I mean, that was kind of how it was for me. So my mom had leftover spaghetti, and she put it in this Tupperware container, and I had put it in my car, in the cup holder. And I couldn't wait to, you know, get home and munch down on that. But the problem was I left it in my car for a day. And it was July. And so, you know, July, when you touch the steering wheel, like, ow, it's hot. So I remember it was the next night, and I was at home. I had no food in my fridge, and I was hungry. And I remembered the spaghetti. And I thought, oh, you know, one day, it's fine. Because that's what college guys do. So I went to the car, and I grabbed that spaghetti, and I brought it in. I microwaved it, and I ate it, all of it. Guess what happened? I got sick. Man, I was sick. I was so excited about that spaghetti. I was so excited because I was hungry. I didn't have any food. And I remembered the spaghetti and I was excited. I had expectations up here, right? But then I was disappointed. Extremely disappointed. In fact, I don't get sick very often. I got really sick after that. My expectations were disappointed. When Jesus said to his disciples that they were going to be persecuted, they were going to suffer, he's telling them this because he wants them to understand what their expectations would be and what he wanted them to be. Because when our expectations are disappointed, we are opening the door for offense. Yeah. So, as you remember, the disciples had high expectations, but when those disappointments would start to come, they would see Jesus as a failure. They would see Jesus as a failure of their expectations because they saw him as the next king and Messiah. His triumphal entry to them meant he was going to establish his kingdom. And they carried that all the way to the ascension in Acts chapter 1, when even then they said in the first verses, "Is now the time you'll set up your kingdom?" And so they expected him even then to set up his kingdom, but he didn't. And so Jesus, for them, could be a real letdown, a real failure of their expectations. And again, opening the door for offense. Sometimes we expect things to happen a certain way. And watch, when it doesn't, we get disappointed. We get disappointed with our circumstances. We get disappointed with our job. We get disappointed with our family. We get disappointed with our friends and our neighbors, our coworkers, our church family. We get disappointed with stuff. And we put a lot of money into our car and now it broke down again. We get disappointed with that. Or maybe we sort of point to the mechanic. Oh, I put a lot of money into this. And this is the mechanic. That mechanic, he doesn't know what he's doing, you know. A couple mechanics in here. I have nothing to say against mechanics. I don't even know how to change the oil in my new van. How about that? So, but sometimes we have these expectations, and when somebody doesn't handle something spiritually and we expected them to, we get disappointed with them. "Well, I'm disappointed with you to act like that," we would say. Sometimes we expect someone to be interested, like a brother or a family member or a coworker. We go to them, "Oh, you know, we're having a big day at church on this day, and you know, you're my friend, you're my brother, you're my whoever you are. I care for you. Won't you come?" "No, and as a matter of fact, would you leave me alone?" Well, okay. We're disappointed about those things because we love them. We expected that they might be excited, and they're not excited. In fact, they're the opposite of that. So our expectations are hurt. Sometimes we think that God would follow through in a certain way. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen the way you prayed? It didn't go the way you expected? And then it's not a particular person or a thing that failed you. Sometimes it's God. That in our minds, God failed us. And he didn't meet, watch, our expectation. And when we have those kinds of expectations, we're setting ourselves up for disappointments. And watch, when we do that, we're opening the door for offense. Disappointments like this often, unfortunately, offend us. Sometimes people get so offended when someone says something hateful or unkind or unthoughtful to us. We tend to get offended when our children, whom we loved and invested and cared, and by the way, it's not only our children, it could be anyone that we've loved and invested and cared and did for them and gave to them and were involved and we sacrificed, and then they turn around and do this, you see. And our disappointment leads us into strong, heavy, intense offense. We tend to get offended at the bad circumstances. And it's not just because we're going through a trial like we were hearing about in Sunday school and yet again today in the morning message. It's because at times we're going through an offense. I'm sorry. We're going through a trial or a struggle or a hurt that we didn't feel we deserved. And so we're disappointed, which leads us to an offense. Now, Jesus said in our verse, he said that ye should not be offended. Now, when he said offended here, the word that he used has a meaning of like a stumbling block or an impediment, like something in the way that trips you up. And so that creates imagery. You know, like whenever you're running and you trip on something, you know, some of us, something doesn't even have to be there. You could just trip on your own feet. Some of us are gifted that way, you know, or maybe not gifted. But being tripped up, that's the imagery. Being, you're like, we're on the race living for God, and then we get tripped up or we stumble on the race, meaning that offense or we're offended has stopped us in our journey or in our tracks. We can't move forward because we're offended. You see, we're tripped up. And that's the imagery. Now, it reminds me whenever I was a kid. I went to grandma's house and I found a shirt because that's what boys, especially boys. Now, if you're a girl and you got to make sure it matches and all that, boys then will do that. I mean, is it a shirt? Is it not pink? Then I will wear it. Is it backwards inside out and have stuff like food on it? I don't care. You know, as long as it's not a certain color and, you know, it doesn't even have to fit. I remember wearing shirts that were way too tight. You could see the bottom of my stomach. And it wasn't like style. I mean, for some, that's style. For me, it wasn't because, anyway, it just wasn't. And it had food right here. But those are pictures you shouldn't want to look at anyway. So I had a shirt on, but it wasn't my shirt. It was my brother's shirt. And so when we got home, my brother, who was perfectly happy and fine, up until he saw me with his shirt on, and then he wasn't happy and fine anymore. He was offended. He was tripped up. And guess who got in trouble for that? I did. Makes no sense. I didn't even know whose shirt it was. Maybe I should have checked. It didn't have his name on it. But anyway, he was tripped up. Jesus here is speaking of the offense that's going to potentially happen in the life of Christians who are easily offended, to be tripped up by the trials of life. If we're easily offended, then we will be tripped up. We'll get off track. You know what offended people don't usually do? They don't usually communicate well to God. I already had mentioned that they don't usually want to communicate with the person or people they're offended at, but they usually don't communicate well to God. And we can pretend like we do. Have you ever been on your knees for a long time and realized you're not really praying? And a long time meaning like 8 or 9 minutes, because if you're not really praying and you're just there, 8 or 9 minutes is a long time. Listen, if there's an offense there, it trips us up. We can have good communication with God. We can pretend like we do, but we can't. If we're offended, we can't get much out of our Bible because we're tripped up. We allow wrong things to dominate our minds when we're offended. Offended people are not thinking of what they can do for God generally. They're usually very angry and disappointed. And so those kinds of feelings just flood the heart and motivate the actions. When we're offended, we often make very poor decisions. Offended people often do not want to talk to the person that offended them, and so they want to, can I use a Facebook term? Unfriend. I'm unfriending you. Click. Just so you know, you're not my friend anymore. Click. You know, I'm unliking you. I'm unhearting you. Is there any other terms like that out there? I don't even know them. I don't know. Sometimes, but that I'm not making light. It's just what we do. It's kind of in us. And it's all of us. All of us have this tendency. Sometimes offended people decide that they're going to give a piece of their mind. Have you ever given a piece of your mind? And then once you gave it away, you wish you could have it back. Yeah, decide to say what we think. Decide to get a few things off of my chest. By the way, if you're going to get a couple things off your chest, what you're about to say probably needs to remain on your chest. I'm just saying. Usually when we approach things because we're offended and we're just going to get things off of our chest, what we're about to say isn't going to turn out good because our spirit's wrong. It doesn't mean that we don't need to say something. It doesn't mean we don't need to get things right and deal with the offense, but our spirit isn't right. And when our spirit isn't right, listen, when we're offended, our spirit isn't right. That's what I'm trying to encourage you about this morning. Our spirit isn't right when we're offended. Easily offended Christians are like the roller coaster Brother Chad talked about this morning. By the way, he and I did not talk about Sunday school or the message this morning at all. We didn't collaborate. In fact, I barely saw him this week. He was moving. We had Thanksgiving and we had family and everything. So, but roller coaster Christians, you know, where, listen, here's kind of a loose definition of a roller coaster Christian. And this is not exhaustive and definitely loose, but whenever things are going good and there's no trial and everybody's happy, then you're happy. But whenever you're in a trial and people say or do things that are hurtful, then you're not happy anymore. You see? And so we're kind of up and down with the circumstances. And that is somebody who's easily offended. That's the idea. Times would get hard for the disciples, as they will for you and I. And as we live for Christ and make commitments and grow and try to become what He wants us to be, then what we're going to find is that we're going to face these times. We're going to face the struggles of life and we're going to need to know how to deal with these kinds of offenses. And they would need to remember what He said. Look at verse 2 with me. We'll read all the way to verse 4 again just to rehearse this. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Interesting verse number 3. Let me say a few words about that and then we'll move on. Look at verse 3 again. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And so there's an implication here that there is a persecuting world who is not interested in the ways or the things of God. They're not interested in God. Now, let's remember that we're in a not only a world that needs Christ, but it might be this morning that whenever we are allowing these kinds of offenses to rule our hearts, that it's reflective of a world that's offended. And so it's not a spiritual thing, it's not a godly thing to allow offenses to rule in our lives. It points us back to a world that gets offended. And this morning, I want us to evaluate our relationship, our walk with God. I don't want anyone who struggles in this area I don't want to put a shade of doubt in your mind about your salvation, because obviously the disciples here would face the temptation of being offended. Because we tend to be easily offended doesn't mean that we're lost, okay? It doesn't mean that. It means that we're humans, I think. that we just need to grow because all of us are there. All of us are there. But I do want us to be mindful of this. That being offended is being offended, being easily offended is reflective of the world. And it reminds us that we live in a world that needs salvation. A world that needs to be saved. You might be here this morning and you're not saved. It could be that you have lived a kind of life that is either focused on self or a kind of life that's focused on pleasing people, pleasing others, you know. It could be that we've lived the kind of life that is focused on trying to please God. And all of these efforts to please self, to please others, to please God, what you'll find is that you're still empty because there is no answer save in Christ and in Him alone. And so it might be that this morning, a message even like this can become offensive because there's a need of Christ there. And it might be this morning that you need to turn your heart to Christ. You need to come and submit yourself to Him. Yeah. That was verse 3. Verse 4, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because I was with you." Oh, there's so many things I want to unpack for you this morning, but I want to try to keep the focus here and help understand what Jesus is dealing with in regards to being strong through these offenses. The disciples would face an excommunication in a way that you and I would not, I don't think, we can't relate to this, not really. He's saying that they would be excommunicated from the synagogue. This was to be cast out of the Jewish community. This was to become an outcast to their family, to lose social status. They would lose, in many cases, they would lose their lives. Listen to what one commentator said about this. This excommunication from the synagogue we saw in verse 2. He says, "If you were in first century Judaism, you were thrown out of the synagogue, and you were thrown out of the synagogue, that meant that you were thrown out of the nation. You were thrown out of your family, you lost your job, you lost your friends, you were a spiritual leper. You would be reduced to a beggar, often. To be unsynagogued was to be eliminated from the hopes and privileges of being Jewish. You were a rebel. You were considered worse than a pagan Gentile. You would not be given the privilege of an honorable burial. You were a religious outlaw. For the Jew, this was the ultimate disgrace," end quote. Consider in John 12, don't turn there, but the Pharisees heard of Christ and they wanted to believe in Him. They wanted to turn their hearts to Him, but they wouldn't because of the threat of being unsynagogued. As a matter of fact, it says that they were afraid to be put out of the synagogue if they would turn their heart to Christ. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night so that no one would know because he didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. This was serious. Jesus said that He hadn't said these things to them at the beginning because He was with them. What's that mean? The disciples didn't face the kind of persecution yet that they would. Why? Because Jesus was with them. You study the New Testament and the life of Christ, what you'll find is the persecution was always pointed at Jesus. Always. It wasn't pointed at the disciples until Jesus rose from the dead and ascended. And then we have the opening of the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we're introduced to a man named Saul. And Saul was the spearhead, the leader of the group of, you know, the mob who took stones and beat and stoned Stephen because he preached Jesus, Stephen being the first martyr. That happened after Christ had ascended. And then we have Herod, who, to please the Jews, had James the apostle had his head removed. And then you come forward, or rather you go back a little bit to Acts chapter 8. And what you'll find in Acts chapter 8 in verse 3 is a guy named Saul who put havoc in the church, hunting down and finding people who claim to be Christ, or rather Christians, and having them beaten and murdered and thrown in prison. And so that's the persecution. Why did he do this? One commentator said, as a matter of fact, quotes from the Mishnu, a Jewish book that writes or teaches, is teachings from the rabbi explaining the Old Testament, explaining the scriptures. And so one Mishnu writing says this: rabbinic authorities held that slaying heretics could be an act of divine worship. And so we not only see hatred from the Jews, but we see motivation and even encouragement from their own writings. And so that's the future. That's what the disciples would look forward to. Hard times, trials, tribulations, temptations, struggles. Jesus was telling his disciples that he didn't want them to be easily offended. Watch, he didn't want them to be easily offended, understanding that things are not going to get easier. Things are not going to become like pie in the sky running through the flower bed. It's going to get harder. It's going to get more challenging. It's going to become more of a struggle. And as Christians, Jesus is saying, we cannot be easily offended. That's what he's saying. Note that there's something about a Christian. There is something about a Christian that is not easily offended. They have a strength that is unusual. If you don't have it this morning, my prayer is that you want it. Because the pressure's coming. The stress is going to be there. The times of turmoil are coming. What did Jesus say when he was on the cross? Don't quote, but let me say it to you. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." While he was being beaten, speaking of the ones that were beating him, "Father, forgive them." Could there not be a better example of somebody who's hard to be offended than Jesus on the cross, who while he was being beaten wasn't offended at the people beating him physically? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I feel like we could stop right there, don't you, with the example of Christ. There's a spiritual strength that has to be in the heart of someone who is hard to be offended. A spiritual strength, meaning it comes from God. Father, someone who is hard to offend has a spiritual understanding that God is still in control. God can be trusted, even in those difficult, trying times. Job said these words: "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Whoa. Now God isn't going to slay us, but Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And someone who's hard to offend not only has a strength that only can come from God, but they have a trust that God's in control, even when things seem that they couldn't get worse. And so this morning, it could be that God has something for you through this. I know He certainly has for me. I want to give you something that I think might help. It's our jobs at Valley Avenue Baptist Church to get the gospel to this world. Amen. That's why we're here. But it didn't start with us. It started with Jesus. And it was carried on by the apostles. And if the apostles in the beginning were easily offended, they would have been, because Jesus left them. Now the Holy Spirit came, but understand, He left. He's gone. And now they're left to do a mission that they're called to do without the one who called them to do it. And if they were easily offended, they would have been, but they didn't. There was a strength there. There was a trust there. And because of that, the gospel for centuries has now went on, and it's made its way to Falls City this morning through the Word of God given to us by the apostles. And now it's our responsibility to get the gospel to this world. It's been given to us to give to others. And here's the point. If we allow ourselves to be easily offended, if we are easily offended, then what happens to the gospel is that it can't go forward. It stops there. We can't get the gospel out whenever we have offense within. We must learn these two things. And this is what I want to encourage you to do this morning. To ask God to help you to be this kind of person. Be hard to offend. Can I say that? The message title, Hard to Offend, be that. Be hard to offend. Be that person who is hard to offend you, number one. Number two, trust God in the trial. Trust Him in the trial. And this morning, if you come to the altar and then you might ask God, would you help me to be hard to offend? And God, would you help me to trust you when things get really low? That you're still in control? Father, this morning, consider the somber nature of the message and that it might be, Lord, that someone just needed to hear this today, and I know certainly I did. And so we pray for your help to turn our hearts to you, to trust your work in us. And Lord, we know that you're in control. Lord, we know that you're faithful. I just pray that you'd help us to internalize the truth that we've heard today, and we might be what you want us to be. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, let's stand together.